know. I think we're going to have a great service today. Doesn't that sound like they want to sing?
Amen.
They want to sing and praise the Lord. What about you? Are you ready to sing and praise the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to worship today in the house of the Lord. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here. Especially if you're visiting with us, I'd like to extend a special welcome and thank you for being among us. We want you to feel at home and part of us. So if you need anything at all, just approach somebody and they will be happy to help you and direct you to where you need or answer any questions that you have. One thing I want to remind everybody to do before we do our greeting is to sign up for the pumpkin patch. I think almost everybody here, I'm looking around, almost everybody here that I can see is capable of sitting an hour or two at the pumpkin patch. So I want you to sign up before you leave today. It's out in the hallway across from the office where you can sign up and help sell our pumpkins. You noticed they're out there this week. You just noticed? Yes, they are. They are. Well, let's begin our worship service with greeting one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. We do make exceptions for babies and so forth. You do have time to look and hold the babies, including the one coming up. We do invite you early or come to choir, even you and your young age. Okay, my name is Bob Seymour. I am a lay servant here at Calvary United Methodist Church. I am here to serve you and serve the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
At the hop.
Good morning, Calvary. Good morning. Why do I still have tickets in my hand? Because I'm not doing a very good job of selling them. Who's got their tickets, folks? Come on. Oh, yay. Oh, more. Come on. Okay. Well, all I can say is today's the last day. Today's the last day to buy the tickets because we will be buying the food this week. And anyway, it's going to be a wonderful event. And we might let Sue sell tickets maybe tomorrow if need be. But anyway, I hope everyone will come out for the 50s dinner. A Night at the Hop. It is a fundraiser for Calvary. We're going to have food and fun and fellowship and entertainment and a live auction. I just can hardly wait. So if you haven't got your tickets, please see me after church. Thank you.
Along with fundraising, we are starting to sell the entertainment books. Those that will be selling those, can you stand up so people see? Sally? Nancy and Sally. Okay. See Sally here today and ask her about the entertainment books. They are a wonderful way. I'm sure some of you are familiar with those through school and so forth. This has a little bit added attraction with being able to use the card and online and so on. Coupons for the food bank. We need you to bring unwanted coupons for food, for baby products to the church so that we can use those at the food bank. Pass those out to people who are in need and need to use those. Along with the food bank, and we have two or three announcements, and I'm going to try and cut these things relatively short. Please ask about them afterwards if you find it interesting. Such as a recipe contest. The conference is having a recipe contest. The Florida Conference kicks off its first recipe contest this September, and the test winners will be the church who submits the highest number of recipes. The contest is open through November the 20th, so break out your Thanksgiving classics and send them in. There will be three prizes. They will be going to the Food Church Hunger Preservation Ministries, and they will be $1,000, $750, and $500 going to the three churches that will win. Interested in that? There's some more detail. Please contact me, or we'll try to get more information out to you.
Or Larry Rude.
Larry will tell you all. I didn't, but you did. Help fight hunger. During the month of October, Ameris Bank is partnering with Calvary and two other food banks in the park area. Orange Park is what it should be, right?
Yeah.
To help fight hunger. They will be collecting money and food at the bank and will be dividing between the three food banks. There is some more information about where that will be at the bank, in the hallways, and so forth.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
The added to that is there is a box in the hallway. One of the other things they are doing is for every item our congregation donates to our food bank, I send a report in each week with those numbers. They will match us and give us back money for each item that we donate. So the more we bring in, the more we get back from them, on top of the money and food that they collect at the bank. So bring it in. There's a box out there. Please, let's fill it.
Amen. Thank you. This is about food bank hours, but the change is it's every other Friday instead of every Friday. Okay, from 11 to 2. And we have the other recipe information and baby food. Items for W.E. Cherry for the month of October is colors and colored pencils, crayons and colored pencils. Likewise, a continuing asking for new underwear or socks and clothing for, this is a year-round asking. There are situations there where they need to be some backup clothing available. So that's what this is for. Yes, ma'am. It doesn't matter. We talked in terms of 16, 24 count in council, but it doesn't matter. Yes. And at the bottom here, it's what we've already heard. Sign up for the pumpkin patch. Let me add to that. There is no one signed up from after church till 6 o'clock tonight. So we need someone out there from after church to 6 o'clock tonight. One other business item that we have. The council was going to meet next Sunday at 6 o'clock to discuss and approve the budget for the church charge conference the Sunday after that. The question is before us now, do we want to meet right after church next Sunday? And the one item, look at the budget, discuss the budget, vote on the budget. And that's it. Is there no objections to having it next Sunday right after church? We will do it. So I'm asking now, is there any objections to moving the council meeting to next Sunday right after church to discuss the one item, the budget? Thank you. That's where we'll have it scheduled. If you have any further discussion on that, please let me know after church. We welcome you to Calvary this morning. That's sort of should have done first instead of after the announcements. But now I've got your attention. We do welcome you here to Calvary United Methodist Church. The pastor has already welcomed you. Let the laity also welcome you. And we ask that you fill out the information cards that are in the pews, the welcome cards. If you have any prayer requests, please fill them out on the back. If you have any prayers that have been answered, fill those out on the back so that we can also pass that information on to everyone. You'll find in your pews the salty service. If you've done something for God this week, help someone in some way, pick one up, put it in the offering plate. It requires no name or anything. The fact that you did it is all we're tallying. Okay. Okay, the welcome cards was one thing. Prayer request card is where you put the prayer request and answers. Sorry, got that one wrong. Is there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Then if you'll join me in the opening words. The buzz of the world interrupting our lives and fills our ears.
Call us into your way of life, O God.
The complaints of others settle in our minds and cloud our vision.
Lead us into your vision of life, O God.
The cry of the poor, the oppressed, and the outcast pierce our hearts.
Guide us in your example of living for others, O God.
Fill our hearts. Fill our eyes, fill our ears with your love, O Lord.
Let us be your hands and feet in the world, O God. Let us worship you together. Amen. Amen.
If you would stand and turn in your hymnals to page 314, we will sing In the Garden.
Still on the road.
you turn to page 880. I'm just going by the bulletin. Okay, it's 881. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Children that would like to come forward for the children's time, and after we're done here, they will be dismissed to go with Children's Church with Miss Teresa, who's back there in the back. But first, I want to tell you a story about a pilot. Actually, he was a pastor, but he learned to fly an airplane. Yes, he did. Anybody can learn to fly an airplane, isn't that right?
Yeah,
sure. Sure. Why not? Why not? That's an easy thing to do. Okay. But in his teaching of the lessons, they told him, when you fly at night and it's all dark, you have to trust the gauges on your plane. You have to trust what it says in front of you when it's all dark. And one time, he flew like that. He flew at night, and it was very dark. There was no moon, no starlight, no light from the cities below. And all of that dark and not being able to see anything all by himself, he said he felt like his right wing was just a little low. So he pulled it up. But it still felt like it was a little low, so he pulled it up some more. And it still wasn't right, so he pulled up his right wing even more. And then he said he felt like his seat belts were tight for some odd reason. And then he looked at the gauges on his plane, and what he discovered was he was flying upside down. He was flying upside down because he didn't trust his gauges. He didn't know what was up or what was down. And that's a story for us, that we need to trust God. Sometimes when we're in the dark and we can't see our way and we don't know and we feel like we're all alone, we still have to trust God. We trust God to keep us right side up, don't we? Just like the pilot has to trust the gauges on the airplane to keep it right side up at night. When you don't know where you're going and you're feeling all alone and you don't know the purpose of something, you don't know why you're going through something. There was a man in the Bible named Job who had that exact experience. He didn't know why God was doing the things that happened to him happened. And he learned in all of that to trust God. He lost his family. He lost his job. He lost everything, and he didn't know why. What's that? He kept trusting God. Yeah. Right. And God made it all good again. You know the story of Job. Give him a hand. He knows the story of Job. That's wonderful, Bradley. You're learning something in Sunday school, aren't you? Yeah. And so Job did like that pilot and finally just trusted in God. He stopped asking why and just trusted in God. And that's how it happened. Job had all those good things returned to him again. Yes, he had everything double-fold. That's right. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, for being with us in the light of good times and in the dark of bad times. Help us to have faith in you and trust your way all the time. Amen. Amen. Now you can have some candy. You're welcome, sweetie. And now we continue to serve God with the presentation of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come forward. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for all your many wonderful gifts. We pray your blessing upon these gifts today, that they are given with love and gratitude, and that are for you, for this church, and for the kingdom of God on earth. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know if y'all have noticed, but George is back. He said Penny was going to come sing this song with him.
You all don't know this, but Andy is a slave driver as a boss. And every time I'm away, he tells me that my punishment is I have to play a solo for not being at choir rehearsal. So here we go.
Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. I feel protected in his arms, never disconnected. In his arms, I feel protected, and there's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, it's the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done.
You know, I don't know about you, but I don't think he should have to go away in order for us to hear him play a solo. That's right. That's right. Thank you, George. That was, and it's lovely to have you back.
Good to be back.
Lovely to have you back. Thank you. I want us to go now to God in prayer, and I invite you to spend a few moments not looking at me, but maybe just listening to my voice, closing your eyes, shutting out the outside noises and the inside noises, and take a few deep breaths. And then open yourself up to what God is saying to you today. Let His voice be the only voice in your ear. Then after a few moments, when you're ready, whether silently or aloud, speak your prayer to God today. Amen. Lord, hear our prayers. Oh God, in the world, money talks and power makes the world go round, or so they would have us believe. And we, forgetting that other voice, join in the march in the hopes that we might find a place among the rich and the strong. But you, O God, feel no shame and fear no harm as you walk among the poorest and the weakest, feeling completely at home. We praise you for the voice of your love that keeps singing of the power in weakness, the wealth in simplicity, and the freedom and safety that is found in walking your humble, serving way. We pray this, O God, and that He taught us to pray, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Turn your handle to page 474.
hold Huey Danley's hand, please.
Our scripture reading this morning is found in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and kneeled before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. And you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked, and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to the disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or child or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, house, brother and sister, mother and child, filled with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the words of our Lord for the people of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God for Christians. That doctrine teaches that faith and a positive attitude and, of course, donation to Christian ministries will increase one's material wealth. But it's hard to reconcile prosperity theology with passages like this one from the Gospel of Mark. And I've come to the conclusion that this passage really isn't about money at all. I don't think the man's wealth is what gets him into trouble. I think it is something else. In the story, as Jesus journeyed from across the Jordan, a man came and knelt at his feet. Apparently familiar with who Jesus was and his ministry, the rich man had only one agenda for the meeting. All he said to him was, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' response is, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." And then he reminds the man what a person must do to be judged good in the eyes of the Jewish law. It's being called righteous comes as a result of following the Ten Commandments. And he lists some of them for the man. Well, for this man, that was no problem. We learn that not only does he enjoy great affluence, but he also has observed all the commandments and tenets of the Jewish faith. In other words, he's not only rich, but he's righteous as well. He's a good man. Imagine that. And then he tells Jesus all of this quite plainly. He says that he has from his youth followed the commandments. His life is in perfect order. Why, the fact that he is wealthy is confirmation that he is a good man, isn't it? There should be no question about it. He asked that question knowing what the answer would be. As a good and faithful Jew, he surely deserves to enjoy the eternal life that Jesus promised. And when the man finishes his testimony about his own worthiness, Mark tells us that Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And it was after this that Jesus proceeded to tell him that he needed to go and sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. And then Jesus says he will have treasure in heaven and can come and follow him. Now, I suggest that the thing that seems to be getting in the way of this man's inheritance of eternal life is not so much his possessions or his refusal to sell all that he has, but his ideas about why he deserves eternal life. He thinks he should inherit eternal life because he deserves it. He thinks not only is Jesus good, but that he too is good. And by good, he means that he has followed all these commandments for his life. He has checked off all the right boxes and earned for himself this elusive inheritance known as eternal life. Eternal life should be his because he is a good and righteous man. And all of us can understand because we think the very same way. We may say we believe we are saved by God's grace, but then in the next breath we start making a list of what we believe will enable us to be called good in the eyes of God when we stand before the throne of judgment. And all of us have our lists. And over time, the list grows longer, just as it happened in Jesus' day. Our lists may vary from denomination to denomination, from church to church, or from person to person. But we all have our lists about what it takes to be a good and righteous person. And then after a while, being a Christian isn't about salvation by grace, and it isn't because Jesus looked at us and loved us. It's not about following God's commandments, but our commandments, our lists of what we must do to inherit eternal life. Why might it be harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Well, maybe because to the man in this story, a rich man was a good man. He equated wealth with goodness. A man was rich because he deserved to be. Wealth was a reward for righteousness, for upholding God's commandments, for following the lists and checking things off. And there were lots of lists. Have any of you read Leviticus? That's one big list. So who can be saved? I want to know why he asked Jesus that if he thought he was already saved. But that is the question. Who can be saved? If we can't earn our salvation by being good people, if God doesn't judge us worthy because we are righteous, then who can be saved? The good news is that we have salvation not because we are good. Our salvation is through Christ alone. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is what restores our relationship to God. The good news is that because of Jesus Christ, God has offered all of us grace and mercy. No matter who we are or what we have done, in God's eyes, we may think we are good, but we are just the same as the prisoner. We are just the same as the addict. We are just the same as any of our neighbors in God's eyes. Amen. The good news is that God doesn't reward the righteous with riches, nor does God punish the unrighteous with poverty and disease and suffering. The good news is that we are saved not by what we do, but by the grace of God shown in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think that what gets in the way of this man being able to hear this good news is his tendency to pass judgment on others and decide for himself who deserves God's grace and mercy. That's why judging others is a big no-no. I think that's what got this man into trouble. It wasn't so much his money as his belief system, his contention that he deserved to be rich, he deserved eternal life, because he was righteous. And that's why Jesus told him to get rid of all his possessions and give the money to the poor. If he were not rich anymore, he might be able to see the truth. He might find himself, along with the rest of the world, wrestling with the question of why good people suffer. And that might save him from his wrong thinking. That might save him from his judging others. And we get caught up, just like he did, in our own beliefs about how things ought to be. And that causes us to judge others rather than trusting God to make those decisions. It is not up to us to say who deserves and who doesn't deserve. And we don't like to imagine that perhaps the way God makes judgments is different from the way we might if we were in charge of the world. But don't get me wrong, we should be good people. We should love the Lord our God with all our hearts and soul and strength and minds. We should follow Jesus and try to live according to his teachings as best we can. But that is not what earns us a place in the kingdom. Jesus loves us right here, right now, just the way we are. Just like he loved the rich man. And Jesus knows that only God is good. In other words, Jesus knows that if we have to be good to inherit eternal life, then none of us would make it. God alone is good. Salvation through Jesus Christ isn't about being good. It's about hearing good news, receiving the gift of good news. The thing that the rich man, the disciples, and all of us miss over and over again is that the good news of Jesus Christ is that there is nothing we can do to earn God's favor. God's grace is a gift. Salvation in Jesus is offered freely without price, and God, for whom all things are possible, can choose to bestow that gift upon anyone God chooses. An inheritance is not something we earn, is it? It's a gift. An inheritance is a gift. What must we do to inherit eternal life? We must let go of all that we have and all that we do that gets in the way of seeing that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves. Even then, letting go of it all is beyond our capacity to do. And the hardest news is also the best news. Our salvation is impossible except for God. And that is the good news for you and for me. In God, we are saved. Not by anything we do, but only what God does for us. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn your hymnals to page 378, we'll sing Amazing Grace. Thank you. verse 6.
And peace be yours today, and it can be this day and every day, with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Go in His love and peace, and may we meet again. Go in peace.
Amen.
Far above.